Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Daf Samach. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis at the Mishnah, the second Mishnah on the one closer to the bottom. The Mishnah now begins to discuss. We began our Masechta speaking about the various mazikim. The mazik that we're now going to be focused on is on the mazik of Eish. Says the Mishnah Shaleichas Be'era, somebody who allows a fire, biyad, and he puts a fire into the control of a cheresh, somebody who can't, a deaf mute, shaita, cotton, and then they carry this fire and it caused damage. The halacha is, potter b'dinei adam, the person will be potter, can't be held guilty in bezdin. However, v'chayi b'dinei shemayim, he should pay for the damage incurred. Shalch b'yad pikeach, if he put the fire in the hands of an intelligent individual, so that the pikeach, the person who was carrying it, will be held responsible. The Rishonim debate, when we wish to begin by discussing somebody who put a fire in the hands of cheresh shoyt of a cotton, he's not chayiv, is that under all circumstances? But what will be the case in a situation where he actually told the shaita or this other individual to do damage? Some Rishonim say the Ritva's opinion is that only if he did not give them instruction to do damage, but if he gave them instruction to do damage, the halacha would be very different. There are other Rishonim, the Miri says that. And that's the opinion of the Meiri. However, there are Rishonim that are of the opinion that if he told them specifically to do damage, then of course he shall be held responsible. Of course, the question is, why, if the person sent a shliach to carry his fire, do we not take on the concept of shluch shladim k'maisai? My shliach is considered an extension of myself. So, of course, the answer is because ein shlich l'dvar avera. A shlich appointed to do something which is halachically unacceptable, there we don't have a concept of shlichus. However, Tosfos Masechta Bava Metzia Daf Yud Amud Beis, the very maskil isha, says that the concept of ein shlich l'dvar avera is only said by an individual who has the intelligence to do what he's supposed to do on his own. And since he has the intelligence to know what to do or what not to do, when I told him to do something wrong, so there we say, ein shliach l'dvar avera. But in our Mishnah, we just discussed a situation that the shliach that was asked to carry it is a cheresh shoyt of a katan. So why would I be exempt? So this is really a question that the Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia discusses there. Some say that there is the concept of ein shliach Avera applies even by individuals who are not b'nei shlichus, cher shayt v'katan. And the other example, the other answer, very much connected to what we just discussed a moment ago, is I did not tell, as we explained, the machlokes rishonim, but certain rishonim point out that our Mishnah does not speak about a case where I asked them to do damage. I just gave them the fire. So even if we'll say that by cheresh shoyt of a katan, we don't apply the concept of ein shliach l'dvar avera, but in a case where I did not appoint them to be shlichim, everybody will agree that we don't say that their shlichus cannot be attributed to me. Certainly, as we explained a moment ago, when I gave the fire to pikeach, to an intelligent person, there we have the concept of ein shliach l'dvar avera. And therefore, the person who actually carried the fire shall be held responsible. However, there's a machlokes rishonim, where I, who gave the fire to pikeach, will I be considered a goyrim? Will I be considered somebody who had indirect cause to making this fire? And as we've learned many times, that even though a grumba ben azakin is potter medine adam, Bezdin cannot obligate somebody who is a grumba ben azakin to pay. But b'day shemayim, a grumba ben azakin is chayiv. So what would be the case here where somebody gave the fire to an intelligent person? And the question will be, if this person, for whatever reason, doesn't pay for the damages, he refuses, he doesn't have the financial means to pay for those damages, will the person who sent them be chayiv because of grumma bin azakin? So many Rishonim suggest, Taisa says this early in the Masechta, on Daf Nun Hei Amin Aleph Devarei Maskel Elo, that when would such a person who sent the mazik in somebody else's hands, a pikeach's hand, be held responsible in a situation where he had reason to believe that the shliach will carry out what he asked? But where is in our case in our Mishnah, where he said that he gave the fire to a pikeach, and he has no reason to believe that this pikeach is going to take this fire and do damage with it, the halacha will be that he will not be chayiv. So according to this, if he did give him instruction, maybe then he'll be chayiv b'dinei shemayim. But I saw that the Pnei Yeshua says that even if he told him to do damage, he will not be, because we keep on applying the concept of ein shliach l'dvar aveira in a serious fashion in our shir, since we keep on applying that concept, even if he were to be so strong, and he told the Bikeach, Chas v'Shalom, to carry the fire further, he shall not be held responsible for carrying the fire further. He could say, I certainly did not expect you to do something like that, and therefore, even B'day Shemayim is Ipater. There are other Mefarshim that want to suggest, was this Pikeach carrying the fire on behalf of this person who gave him the fire? Or was it that he just gave him the fire? If he just gave him the fire, so there's certainly no reason to assume or expect that this person will carry the fire and do damage with it, and therefore the Meshaleach is not even considered a grumma. But if he had been asked to carry the fire, then his level of responsibility may be greater. Says the Mishnah, Echad Hevi Sa'ar, one person brought the fire, v'echad hevis eitzim, and another person brought the wood. So the halacha is hamevi eitzim chayiv. The person who brought the fire, the person who brought the wood, will be held responsible, because the person who just brought a small flame, if there weren't the wood, the fuel to cause this fire to spread, he cannot be held responsible. And therefore, in the reverse situation, where Echad Hevi Sa'etzim, one person brought the wood, and Echad Hevi Sa'ar, and the second person brought the fire, then the maybe Sa'ar Chayiv, because he's the one that actually caused the fire to spread. Ba'ach V'liba, if somebody had a fire, and the fire was a very small fire, and under normal circumstances, this fire does not have the ability to spread. And then Ba'ach V'liba, and somebody came and fanned that fire, which caused the fire to spread, then the halacha is hamelaba chayiv. The person who did this fanning, this causing the fire to spread, will be held responsible. However, lipsa ruach, if it wasn't anybody that caused the fire to grow, it just there was a wind that came, and a wind, as the Rishonim point out, that's a ruach she'ena mitsuya, that he had no reason to assume that there's going to be such a wind that would cause the fire to spread, then kulam paturim, then the halacha is that they're potter. And there's a very interesting vort from Reb Chaim Briska. We've spoken in our Masechta, certainly having quoted the opinion of Tosfos and other Rishonim, that even though there's a halacha of Adam Mu'ud La'olam, in a situation where it was an oinus, it was beyond his control, there we don't say Adam Mu'ud La'olam. And the case, and a person will not be held responsible for the pay for the damages. Here too, the case is that there was a Ruach Shein Metzuya. There was something that was unexpected that caused the fire to spread. But says Rav Chaim Brisker, there's a fundamental difference between the two cases. In an Adam HaMazik, when a person does damage by oinus, so he's considered a mazik. Just as a new halacha, that such a person will not be held responsible for payment for such damages, because he had no reason to assume that such will happen. But says Rav Chaim Brisker, in a case, so it's considered they did damage, but there's no chiyuv tashlumim. But in the case that we are now discussing, he says that the fire spread because of a ruach she'ena mitzuya, something that was totally unexpected. It's not to be understood that, well, he didn't expect it to happen and therefore he's not chayiv. He says it's much more fundamental. What it really means to say is that he's not considered under these circumstances a ruach, as a mazik at all. Fire by ruach she'ena mitzuya is not considered a mazik at all. However, of course, says the Rashba and Tosfos, that when we say, as we just said, by ruach she'ena mitzuya, it's not considered a situation of eish. It's only a situation that when he left the fire or made the fire, there was no ruach she'ena mitzuya present. But if at that point when he made or left the fire, there was a ruach she'ena mitzuya in the vicinity, then you can't say, well, it was a ruach she'ena mitzuya and I should be potter. Since at that moment there was a ruach she'ena mitzuya there, he should have taken that into consideration. And in that case, he will be chayiv if the fire spreads. Says the Gemara, Amar Shlokesh Mishmei de Chizkia. Our Mishnah said that if you sent the fire in the hands of a cheresheit of a cotton, you're potter. On that, says the Gemara, Amar Shlokesh Mishmei de Chizkia, Lo shana al shemos loy cheles, where only a coal was given to these individuals for liba, and then they fanned that coal and made it grow. Ava Masla Shehevis, if they actually gave these people a flame, chayiv, then the person who handed to them such a flame will be chayiv. My Tama, why? Says the Gemara, Maisiv Kogarmala, his handing a flame to such individual is considered a situation of eish. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is, Afila Masla Shehevis, even if he gave him an actual fire, potter, he won't be chayiv. My Tama, why? Because Safs the Cheresh, it's the Cheresh's holding that fire and carrying it and causing it to spread, Garmaloi, caused the damage. And therefore, the person who gave the fire to the Cheresh out of the cotton will not be held responsible. Achi Yimsaloi Gavza, until he gives him dry wood, Salta, chip, wood chips, Shargan, actually an actual candle, Dahu Vadai, Mice of the Day. Such a situation, Garmu, there certainly the Mishaleach is the one that caused the fire, and since he is the one that caused the fire, he should be held responsible. So there are many different explanations in the Rishonim and how to understand the Machloikis of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish's opinion is that a coal is going to get extinguished. A flame is likely to grow, and therefore it's considered like a ruach mitzuya. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that even like a ruach mitzuya, and therefore is yochayiv, as we learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that even just a flame by itself is not going to grow, and therefore it's considered like a situation of ruach she'ena mitzuya. The Tosfos says that the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is, can we assume any level of responsibility to a cheresh shoyt v'katan? Reish Lakish's opinion is that no responsibility could attribute it to be the cheresh shoyt v'katan. And therefore, if you gave a fire to cheresh shoyt v'katan, you shall be held responsible. Rabbi Yochanan says, since all you gave them was just a flame, so yes, they're a cheresh shoyt v'katan, but it's to be expected that a cheresh shoyt v'katan know how to watch a flame and not to let it spread. Other Rishonim explain that the flame itself can certainly not spread. What happened here was that the cheresh shayta of a katan added wood, fuel to that flame. And the question that Machlokes Rabbi Shlokesh and Rabbi Yochanan is that considered that since I gave the flame to the cheresh shayta of a katan and they added the wood, could that act of adding the wood be attributed to me? Rabbi Shlokesh says yes, and Rabbi Yochanan says no. The Tosfos Rid and Rashi seem to go say that the Machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish is really going back to a Machlokes that we learned and will continue learning. And what is the Mazik of Eish? Rabbi Shlokish's opinion is Isha Eish Mishem Emoinai. The real Mazik of fire is because it's my money that caused the damage. So even if I gave the fire to the Chereshayt of a Katan, it's still my mammon, it's still my Eish that caused the fire. Whereas the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan is that Eishim Mishim Chitza, that Eishim is not because of mammon HaMazik, Eish is Chai because of Adam HaMazik. And I am not the Chereshayt of a Katan. They're different people than I am, and they're the ones that made the fire, and therefore I cannot be held responsible unless it was very clear that I created this damage. We learned further in the Mishnah, Sholch b'yad b'keach, but if you sent the fire with a b'keach, then the b'keach is chayiv, the b'keach will be held responsible. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah said, but what happens if you sent it with a b'keach and somebody else came v'liba and fanned the fire? So says the Gemara, Amram Nachman b'yitzchuk, mandatani liba, the one that said the wording of our Mishnah, liba, is la'im mishtabish, is not saying incorrect. Mandatani v'niba, and the one that uses the word v'niba is not making a mistake. Both of those words can mean the same, that they cause the fire to grow. And the Gemara brings psukim to back this up. Mandatama liba lemishtamish, the ksiv, Moshe Rabbeinu by the snare, sees the fire, and the pasuk says, v'yera malach Hashem alav belabas eish. We see the word liba is connected to a fire. Mandaton and Niba, and the one that uses the word Niba is Lo Mishtabish. The pasuk says in Yeshaya, Bore Nivsvosayim, Shalom Shalom, L'Rochuk V'L'Karav Om Hashem. What happened, Niv is a way of expressing, speaking. And when you speak, you cause something to grow. The fire was being spread between because the fire was growing. Says the Mishnah, Lofsa ruach, kulam p'turim. But it was the wind that caused the fire to grow, then everybody will be potter. So says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, liba v'lipsa ruach, if the fire was fanned by a wind that should be expected to come, then im yesh libuya b'deil v'aysoy, that if there's enough from this wind to make the fire grow, chayiv, then the person who fanned the fire will, if somebody fanned such a fire, he be chayiv. V'mlav, but if his action doesn't cause the fire to grow, then I'll be potter. The wind did help, so the Rishonim point out, that's going to be considered Messiah she'en bei mamish. And I saw that the Rishonim explained it, based on a Gemara we often had in Masechta Shabbos, the halacha shnayim shesua, if two people participate in a malacha, and there's a situation where one could do the malacha by himself, and the other one couldn't, so the one that could have done it by himself is chayiv. Here too, the one that fanned the fire, he's the one that could have caused the fire to spread, and that's why he will be chayiv. Amai, but why is this any different, asked the Gemara? One of the malachas on Shabbos is zoira, winnowing, where you throw the grain up and the wind separates the wheat from the chaff. And the question is, why is this any different from zoira ruach sayatoi, that you chayif for malacha, that you chayif for the malacha zoira on Shabbos? So we see if the wind helps, then the halacha is that you're still considered as if you did the malacha. So here too, even if you couldn't have made the fire spread on your own, you needed the ruach, why should you not be chayiv? Answers the Gemara. Amar Abaya, there it's the ruach and the person combining. Here, the ruach and the person did not combine. Amar Abaya, hachav v'skinen, why you chayiv? Kegon shaliva mitzad echad, you fan the fire from one side, and the lips are ruach, the wind from was the other side. And therefore, the two, your act and the ruach, don't combine. Rav Amar, Rav gives a different teretz. Kegon shaliva beruach matsuya, there was the normal wind would not have caused the fire to grow. But what happened here was, and he had no reason to believe that there's going to be a ruach she'en metzuya. So why you chayiv by Zoira? Because it's a ruach metzuya. So ruach metzuya is something, as we keep on explaining, to be expected to happen. And since it's to be expected to happen, that's why you're chayiv. But here was a luach she'ena mitzuya, you won't be chayiv. Rav Zeira Amar, different teretz. Kegoyin the tzamre mitzura. You didn't use your wind to fan the fire. You only just breathed next to the fire. That's not considered an act of liba. But by Zeira, it's the way Zeira winnowing is done. Rav Ashi Amar, a different teretz. Kaminin Zeira v'ruch mesayita. When is that a chayiv? Hanimil in Shabbos. That's a halacha as far as Hilchus Shabbos are concerned. Why? The Mahainu Melechus Machshavis Asra Torah. I wanted the wind. I wanted this to happen. And that's why it's enough to be considered a Melech of Shabbos. Avalacha, I didn't want the fire to spread Chas V'Shalom. And therefore, what happened here is only a Grama Ba'amahu. The Grama, the Nezakin, as we keep on learning, is a potter. Then he's potter. So, Rav Chaim, again, the vort that we said from Rav Chaim earlier, why in a case where it was a ruach metzuya, and with a ruach metzuya, the fire would have not spread, and then, unexpectedly, a ruach she'ena metzuya came, why should I not be chayiv? Don't we have the concept, asks Rav Chaim, of Adam Mu'ad L'Olam? So says Rav Chaim, that concept of Adam Mu'ad L'Olam, that you're always responsible, even for something that was unexpected, is only by Adam HaMazik. Here we're not speaking about Adam HaMazik. We're talking about a fire. There we don't have the concept of Adam Mu'ad L'Olam. And Baruch Ber takes this a step further. That's why it will only be considered a Grama B'Nezakim. Dagli Tal asks a question. He doesn't understand this entire Gemara that's taking this question of asking from the Malacha of Zoira to the to Eish. By Shabbos, we know that what is considered a Malacha on Shabbos, whatever happened in the Mishkan, whatever Malacha was done in the Mishkan. So ask the Egli Tal, in the Mishkan they had Zoira. And Zoira, as we explained, is always done with Ruach Masayita. That's why it's considered a Malacha. That has nothing to do with Hilchas Mazikim. And he continues to say, "Memayna mesura lo yalpinen." So, why should it be? What's the entire approach of this Gemara? So, the Egli Tal answers. He says that even though all malachas are learned from Hilchus, from the Mishkan, but the Torah and the Gemara often discusses this in Masechta Shabbos. It says, "Basoisa," and from that we learn, "Yochet she'asa chayiv." If one person did a malacha, he's chayiv. Shnaim shesu, if two people participated in the malacha, peturim. So, just because it took place in the Mishkan, why should this not be considered under the exemption of shnaim shesu? That's part of what the Gemara is holds its chayiv. Rav Ashi said that here it's considered a case of grama ben nezakin, and the halacha is that Grama ben Nezakin is potter. So ask many Mefarshim that the halach is that by Shabbos also, that somebody only did a gram halach, he's not chayiv. So if this case that we are discussing is considered a situation of Grama, why should you be chayiv by Shabbos? So says the Avni Nezer. Yes, under normal circumstances, by Hilchus Shabbos, there's halacha that a grumma is not chayiv. But, says David Nezer, in a case that the melacha, as it was done in the Mishnah, in the Mishkan, was done in the form of grumma, so there we don't have the exemption of grumma. So, in other words, yes, there's a rule by Hilchus Shabbos that grumma is potter. But that halacha by Hilchus Shabbos, that grumma is potter, was only said if that is not the way the melacha is normally done. But if that's the case, the way the melacha is normally done, then even though it's a case of a grumma, and as we are correctly indicating, normally you're not chayiv by a grumma, here you will be chayiv by a grumma. Here you will be chayiv by a grumma. The Rav Avadya Yosef and the Shas Tshuvas Yabia Omer Oir Chaim Chelak Aleph Siman Yud Tes speaks about speaking on a microphone, on a telephone, on Shabbos, and what is the issur of doing so? And he says that because you're speaking and causing electricity to be created, you're causing sparks to be made, and therefore that's considered making a fire. Mavir is one of the malachas on Shabbos. So he asks that's not the derech havara. That's not the normal way of making a fire. So why over here is it also to do so on Shabbos? So he says, our Gemara is the answer to that question. He says, our Gemara is teaching us that fire, if you are involved in the creation of the fire, and it's the normal way that's how fire is created, that is considered a situation of mavir. And since that's the way fire is created, that's why you shall be chayiv. The Shas HaTshuva Shvus Yaakov Chelk Aleph Siman Kuf Lamed Vav discusses a situation where Reuven and Shimon were traveling on a wagon that had cotton that belonged to Reuven. And Shimon was smoking a cigarette, and some sparks from the cigarette fell, and Reuven told him, be careful, because these sparks could cause all of our merchandise to burn. And Shimon ignored him, and there was a fire and wiped out all of this cotton. But the fire, that the ruach that came was a ruach she'ena metzuya. So Shimon says, since the wind that came was a ruach she'ena metzuya, I should not be held responsible. Says the Shas HaTshuva Shvus Yaakov, that since there was at that point a ruach she'ena metzuya in existence when he was smoking and warned not to smoke, so even though it is a ruach she'ena metzuya, but when it's a time and place that the ruach metzuya is in existence, then the halacha is that you're chayiv. And therefore, even though it was a ruach she'ena metzuya, the halacha, he suggests that in such circumstances, the person who was smoking and warned not to smoke should be considered chayiv. Says the Mishnah, Hashleich Sabeir, somebody doesn't watch his fire, Vachla Eitzim, and it destroyed wood that belongs to somebody else, Oyavonim, or it destroyed stone, Oyofra, earth, Chayiv, the person who made the fire, shall be held responsible. Shnemar, as the Torah Kedosha says, Ki Seitze Eish, Umatza Koitzim, V'nechel Gadosh Ekomo Ayasada, Shalem Yishalem Hamaver Esabeira. Amar Rava asked Rava, Lomali the Kos Rachmana, the Pasuk says, we just quoted the Pasuk, and the Torah speaks about all these various different items that got burnt. And why, asked Rava, does the Torah have to single out Koitzim, thorns, Gadosh grain, and Koma, grown grain, and Sada? Why were they all needed to be mentioned? Says Rava Tzricha, they all had to be mentioned individually. Because, says Rava, Dikas Rachmana, Kaitzim, if the Torah would have only said thorns, have a minim, Kaitzim would have Rachmana. By thorns, you'll be chayiv for the Eish, Vishun the Shchich Eish Gabayu, Vishchich the Pasha. Thorns are very flammable, and people are not careful about them, and that's why you should be held responsible. People are careful with their grain. The pasha, and people normally will make sure that the fire will not destroy their grain. We could say that this is a situation of an oinus. It's considered a significant loss when somebody's grain gets burnt. Which I have some mood, how much are thorns worth? Emeloi, maybe the person who made the fire should not be held responsible. The halacha is that you will be chayiv. So the Yamsha Shloima says, where in our Masechta asks, where in our Masechta do we find that the Torah differentiates between if it's a significant loss or an insignificant loss? So says the Yamsha Shloima, correct. If somebody was a mazik, or somebody's mammon, or somebody's property was a mazik, so there the halacha is that there's no difference in how much of a mazik he was. But here we're speaking about that I'm not a direct mazik. As we keep on speaking about the mazik of Eish, we understand that Eish is not a direct mazik. And maybe therefore we should differentiate between the value of the damage. Teaches us the Torah, there is no such nafkamina. The pasuk also spoke about the kama. And now the question is lomeli, says the Gemara, ma kama begoli, to teach us the kama is visible. From here we learn af kama begoli. When we speak about fire, it has to be something which is visible. We've learned many times in our Masechta that there is a chai, there is that machloikes of Yehuda and Rabbanon by tamen when it's not visible are yuchayiv, lomeli. Why was it needed to be said? The rabbis call Bali Koima, not just things in the field, anything that burns Yechayiv. Rabbanon that say that the Pasuk of Koma is coming to teach us, Tomen, the rabbis call Bali Koima Menola, where will we know this halacha from? Answer the Gemara, Nafkalei Me'oyha Koma. Rabbi Yehuda, Oy Mibay L'chalek, that the Pasuk had to put the word Oy between Gadish and Kolom to teach us that you're not, that you don't have to have both Godish and Kama burnt at the same time. One alone will make you Chayiv. Rabbanon, L'chalik M'nolu, where would the Rabbanon notice Halacha from? Nafkaluma Oy HaSoda. When the Torah said the word Oy by Oy HaSoda. Rabbi Yehuda, what did Rabbi Yehuda respond? Rabbi Yehuda says, I did the Kos Rachmana Oy HaKama, since the Torah used the word Oy HaKama, for sake of consistency, Kos of Oya Soda. Soda Lamali. So ask the Gemara, why did the Torah have to write the word Soda? Says the Gemara, La Suye Lichka Nira. If somebody fire spread on somebody else's plowed field, the Sichsa Avonov would singe somebody's stones and these and they got burnt, the Aloch is that you'll be Chayiv. And the Chiddush Rashi says is that we spoke earlier in our Masechta, when we speak about the mazik of Eish, where an animal ate something, so the halacha is the mazik of Eish is only of Shein is only if the animal ate something which it normally eats. Teaches us our Gemara that that's halacha by Eish. That's halacha by Shein. By Eish, anything it burns, you shall be held responsible. Ask the Gemara, V'lichta Rachmana Sada. Why should the Torah just not have written Sada V'loi by Hanach? And we'll learn all the other cases that we've been speaking about from the word Sada. Answers the Gemara Tzricha. Dikas Rachmana Sada, had the Torah only written Sada, have a mina mash b'sada in midachrona loy. Something, the field itself, but something that's not the field itself, the stones, etc., loy, you should not be chayiv, k'mash malon, that you are chayiv. Says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel ben Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonason, Ein pronis ba'al olam. Bad things don't happen, el zman shereshoyim ba'al olam, because there are reshoyim in the world. But where the bad things begin from, Elman at Tzaddikim Tchila, begins by the Tzaddikim. Shnema, Keseitza Eish, Maitza Keitzim. Emesa Eish Yoitza, when is there fire? When is there destruction in the world? Bezman, Shekoitzim, Mitzuyla, when there are thorns represented by the Rishoyim. Veina Meschels Elma Tzaddikim Tchila, but it begins first by affecting the Tzaddikim. Shnemar, V'nechel Godish, that the tzaddikim are compared to the Godish. Godish is something that produces Paris. A tzaddikim produced the very Torah, produced further tzaddikim. Says the Gemara, Och Godish, Loi Nemev Nechel Godish. What does that mean? That tzaddikim came first. And as the Sefer Yad David explains, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says, Masechta Rosh Hashanah, looks at the world. If the world, because he says there's certainly always, unfortunately, going to be Rishoyim. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the world. And if the world is mostly Rishoyim, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I have to punish the world. And once HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unfortunately, decides to punish, bring punishment to the world, he begins by the Tzaddikim. The Maral explains, why indeed does HaKadosh Baruch Hu begin with the tzaddikim first? So Maral explains, because since the tzaddikim are those that are closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so those are the ones that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, has his eyes on first, and that's why he begins with the tzaddikim. He says that, then he says a deeper word. He says that what do the tzaddikim represent? He says, the tzaddikim represent shleimus. He says, in a world that's going in the proper way, the tzaddikim who represent shleimus, represent perfection, belong in this world. But in a world where averus are prevailing, that's a world which is the opposite of tzaddikim. Tzaddikim represent shleimus. Rishoyim represent the opposite of shleimus, and therefore tzaddikim are eliminated from a world of where there is no shleimus. Tana Rav Yosef says the Marmaidik Siv Atem Loititzum Ish Mipesach Beisoy Ad Beker. This was Klai Yisrael were warned by Max Becheres Mitzrayim not to leave the home because Kivin Shenit Rishus L'Mashkes. Once there was the Mashkes going out, Ein Amafchem Et Tzadikim Rishoyim. He doesn't differentiate between Tzadikim and Rishoyim. V'lo Yoid. And furthermore, Maschilim and Tzadikim Tchila Shenemar V'Chrati Mimcha. And the Pasuk indicates first a tzaddikim and then the Rishoyim. So the Ben Ish Chai asks, why? Because the Pasuk says tzaddik v'rosha, do we say that tzaddikim are affected first? Obviously, when the Pasuk mentions words, it could only mention one word at a time. And that's why tzaddikim are mentioned first. But maybe they're both punished at the same time. So says the Ben Yoyod, if that were indeed the case, that tzaddikim and rishoyim are punished at the same time, it would make more sense to speak about the rishoyim first, because they're the ones that brought the punishment to the world. If the Torah spoke about the tzaddikim, first, it could be that that must be because the tzaddikim are going to be punished first. The Rambam says that a person who has more averus than mitzvahs is judged as a rasha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he has to leave the world. Similarly, if most of a country has more averus than mitzvahs, then that country is sentenced to destruction. Says the Brisker Rav, even though the Rishoyim are sentenced to this punishment because of their behavior, what the Rambam means to say, that if it's not just that you have Rishoyim that are acting that way, but because of the behavior of the Rishoyim, most of that country is averus versus mitzvahs, that even the tzaddikim will suffer. So ask the Brisker Rav, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to tell Avraham Avinu about the destruction of the city of Sodom, Avraham Avinu started speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying, if there are tzaddikim, spare the city because of the tzaddikim. But if, what would those handful, 50 tzaddikim or whatever number tzaddikim, help if most of the city is Rishoyim? So the Lecha Mishnah says that this is, this story with Avraham Avinu is to teach us the power of tefillah. That even though we, as we just learned, the Rambam taught us that most of the city are Rishoyim, then it doesn't help the few tzaddikim, but tefillah could save the tzaddikim. The Brisk Rav gives a different teretz. The Brisk Rav says that even though if most of the city is Rishoyim, then that affects the tzaddikim as well. Tzaddikim gemurim are exempt. And what Avraham Avinu was seeking for tzaddikim gemurim. Another teretz that the Brisk Rav suggests, there's a difference in what stage the world is in. If there's a time of Charoin Af, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kav Yochel is particularly upset, then says the Brisk Rav, then tzaddikim cannot be saved. Avraham Avinu was davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that now should not be a time of Charoin Af. If now should not be a time of Charoin Af, then perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save the tzaddikim and they won't be punished. Bacha Rav Yosef, Kula Hai Nami, Doimim, that even tzaddikim are going to be punished with in such times. Amal Abayu, Titvusu L'Gabayu, it's actually to their favor that they should not see the terrible punishment that comes to the world. Kipnei Ra Nesav Tzadik. The tzaddik is taken away before the terrible situation occurs, so that the tzaddik should not have to suffer. The tzaddik should not have to suffer seeing this terrible situation. The Das Sofer explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Noach, "Boy atav v'chol beischa al toiva ki oisu risi tzaddik l'fonei b'dor hazeh." So he asks, if Noach was a tzaddik, why did he have to go into the teva? HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have saved him anyway. So one teretz, he says, we learn, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them, Noach, through building the teva, maybe should serve as a way that people will do tshuva. But another teretz he gives is based on what we learn in our Gemara. Because our Gemara is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he brings the Charoin Af to the world, even the tzaddikim suffer. But as we also just quoted the Brisk Rav, and the Das Sofer says a very similar pshat, that's only for a person who's a tzaddik. He suffers with the Rasha. A tzaddik gomer is not going to suffer together with the Rishayim. Says the Das Sofer, what does the pasuk say? Ki oischa re'isi tzaddik. You're only a tzaddik. You're not a tzaddik gomer. And since you're not a tzaddik gomer, that's why you're going to suffer. And that's why the only way you could be saved is by going into the teva. It says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Lo'olam yikanes adam b'ki toiv. A person should enter the city where it's still light, v'yetze b'ki toiv, and leave the city when it's already light. Shenemar, v'atem lo'yteitzu ish v'pesach b'yisei ad boiker. But Tosfos points out that this halacha is only in a city which you're not familiar with the city. But if you know the city and you know the ins and outs of the city, the need for light is not that critical. Moreover, on the other hand, that says the In Yaakov, that why did the Gemara say La'olam? The Gemara says La'olam, that even though it is moonlight, moonlight is insufficient. You need to have sunlight. The Ben Yoyada says that even the pasuk is coming to teach us, even if you're going to Dvar Mitzvah, and since you're going to Dvar Mitzvah, maybe you would think, I don't have to worry. It says the Gemara Lo'olam, you should be concerned about going in the time that it's light. There is a Machloikis Rishonim. What does that mean? Rashi's opinion is that you should wait for the Netz. Tosfos' opinion is that already at Da'alos HaShachar, you could travel. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Deva Be'ir, if there's a plague in the city, a pandemic. Nice raglicha. Stay at home, don't go out. Shnemar, just as we've been quoting the psukim, v'atam loy teitzu ish me pesach beisoy ad boiker. Vaymer, and there's another pasuk. Lech ami, the pasuk says in Yeshayo, Lech ami ba b'chaderecha, go into your rooms, close the door behind you. Vaymer mechutz teshakel cherev, outside the sword is taking its toll, mechadarim ema. That's when you should remain in your room. So ask the Gemara, my Vaymer, what was the need for all these psukim? V'chitei mehani mili b'layla. Maybe that you're supposed to close yourself, lock yourself into your room is by night. Abba yamama, by day low, you don't have to do so. Toshma, lech ami babacha derecha, skod l'sachi, even by day. V'chitei mehani mili hecha deleka em megavoy, that there's no fear in the home itself. But if by staying at home, it's not going to help you, when there's fear in the homes as well, maybe it would be better to have company. Even though where you are, there's fear, don't go out. Says the Gemara, Rava, Bidin, Rizcha, in the time of that there was clearly anger from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have a soccer cave, he would close the windows, the ksiv, ki ola mavis b'chaloineinu. There's death all over, and the way to remain away from the death, the way to remain away from death is by closing you up in your home. Tarabon and Rabbi Ir, if there is a hunger, Rechman and Tzolan, in the city, Pazereg Lecha, look for food. Shnem v'hira be'aretz, and the pasuk says, V'yer Avram Mitzrayim alogusham. V'oimer, im amarnu nove ir, v'ira be'ir umas nusham, and the Torah says that let's go, the pasuk continues saying in Malachim, v'mishav nepa v'masnu, v'atol chu v'nipla machne Aram, we'll go to machne Aram and see what's doing there. Asking Marmai Va'imer, what is meant with this? V'chitei mahani milehecha deleka sofik nefashis. When there's no question, there's no danger about going somewhere else. Avalhecha deleka sofik nefashis. But if there's a question of traveling could be dangerous, maybe loy, you shouldn't go elsewhere, stay home. It says the pasuk, l'chuv nachna mechna ramim yechenim nechia. There was even a question of swords of danger, go. Tanabon and Deva Beir. If there's a pandemic, Al Yahalach Odom Bem Tzir. Don't travel in the middle of the road. Neshemal Chamovis Mahalach Bem Tzadrochim. Because that's where you will find the Malach Chamovis. The Kiv and the Yavle Rishus. Once the Malach Chamovis has permission to prevail in the city, Maskel Ahedya, it walks openly in the middle of the city. But in a time, Shalom Beir, Al Yahal Batside Drachim, don't walk on the side. Because Kivan the Leslie Rishusa, since the Malchamavis does not have permission at such a time, Machbe Mazgi, the Malchamavis is standing, the Malchamavis is on the side of the road. And since the Malchamavis is standing on the side of the road, that's where you should stay away from. Tanaban Dava Beir, Al Yikonis Adam Yachle Besa Knesses. Don't walk into Shul alone. Shemal Chamavis Mafgid Shem Caleb, because that's where the Mal Chamavis Kaviyochel leaves his things. V'hani Mili Hecha Deleka Kar Beit Adki Tevlei Matzu Be'asara. When there aren't children learning in the shul and there isn't a minyan davening, but if there's a shul, if people are davening and learning, there's nothing to worry about. Tanaban and Klavim Baichem, when dogs are crying, that is a proof that Malchamavis Baliir, that the Malchamavis is in the city. Kalavim Schachikim, when the dogs are happy, that's a proof that Eliyahu Navi Baliir, that Eliyahu Navi is in the city. V'halimili, that LS Bein Akeva, when there's no female dog. But if there's a female dog, maybe their happiness is because of that female dog. So Rav Tzadik explains, what does this mean? Eliyahu is the opposite of Malach Hamavis. Because as we know, Eliyahu loymeis. And therefore, Eliyahu Hanavi and the Malach Hamavis are just the opposite. So the Shemesh Shmuel asks, what does this mean? It means that the dogs have the sense to feel when there's a tzaddik and when there isn't a tzaddik. So he says that why does a dog have that ability and a person doesn't have that ability? So he says what a person represents is that a person represents different personalities and different kaychas. And he has in him that mixture. Since he has in him that mixture, he doesn't have that sense of purity that he can sense the purity. A kalev is a dog, and therefore he doesn't have that sense. Many mefarshim say what does a dog have to do with Eliyahu Hanavi? And they say that what's really being referred to is a shaychet. If you have a shaychet, a person who's involved in kashrus, who does his job properly, and then chas v'shalom, you have people who don't. The pasuk says, "Ubasa besada treifa leisoichlu." We may not eat treifa meat. L'kelav tashlichudon. So we should sell them to the dogs. So if we have, unfortunately, a shaychet, then that is acting improperly, and he says the non-kosher meat is kosher, so the dogs are upset, because they won't have what they should have, what to eat. There's no tray for meat. They're saying everything is kosher. But if the shaychet is doing his job properly, so then there's plenty of tray for meat. And when there's tray for meat, then the dogs are happy because they have meat to eat. Says the Gemara, Yosser, Rav Ami, Rav Asi, Kameh, Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. Mar Amalhem, Lema Mar Shmatza. Somebody said to Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, tell us a dvar halacha. Mar Amma, Lema Mar Agarata. And the other one said, please tell us a dvar agarata. V'leishavik mar, they didn't say, because he didn't let him to say the agarata, pasuk lameim agarata. Rav Yitzchak started saying an agarata. V'leishavik mar, but they didn't let him to say, continue his speech, because they wanted to hear a dvar alocha. So pasuk lameim shmatzah, so Rav Yitzchak decided to say a dvar alocha. And at that point, v'leishavik mar, that other person didn't want, because he said, I want to hear a dvar gadol. Amalehem, em shechal man davadayma. What is this situation comparable to? A man has two wives. Achas yolda, one is a young woman, v'achas kena. So the young woman wants to have a young husband. So yolda malakas leilavanus. So if he has any white hair, she pulls it out, that he shouldn't look like an old man. And the zakena, she's an old woman. She doesn't want a young husband. Malakas Lashkaris pulls out all the dark hair, and he, Nitzakerech Mikan Mikan, is left with any hair. Amala, so Rav Yitzchak has a problem. What should he say? So he said, Ihachi, Eim Lechumil Sadashavil Tavaychu. I'll say something that everybody will be happy with. The Pasuk says, Kiseitse Eish, the Psukim we're talking about, Eish, or Matzakaitzim. Says the Gemara, Teitzim Atzma, that the fire started on its own. But then the pasuk says, "Shalom yishalom es mavus abeira," that somebody caused the fire. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, "Alai l'shalom es abeira shavarti." I have to take responsibility for the burning of the base of Mikdash, even though our averus caused the burning. Ani etzati esh betziyon shenamav yotzes esh betziyon v'toychli yisoy deseah. But says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, "Vani osel of nice be'esh, I will rebuild the base of Mikdash." Shenema vani elo chaimis esh saviv l'kavod ei b'soicha. Shmatza says the Maposa Kosev Beniske Memoinai. The fire went out and it burnt somebody else's field. Sayim Beniskei Gufoi, because it says Hamavir, as if I caused the fire. Loimalach, to teach us a halacha that we mentioned earlier in our shir. When we speak about mazikim through Adam Asechta, we have to always identify in what family of mazik is the mazik that we're speaking about. It says the Gemara, as Rabbi Yochanan has taught us many times in Adam Asechta, that isha mishem chitzav, that a fire that you light is considered as if it's adam hamazik, and that's why hamavir, the person who started the fire, is considered Mishum Chitzov, he's considered Adam Hamazik.